ground control to Major Tom.
Staunton wriggling his way to the post and right on the post. There are three there. It must be a try. Yes, it is. A second try for John Kelly. Now it's all there for the taking as Gloucester pick themselves up from underneath their own post. Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This is Crotty. Oh yes, O'Gara is in! Another lead for Munster, and what a magnificent try!
Check ignition.
Fully controlled, oh, straight on! Now there will be no greater place in Munster history than the one reserved for the man who scores the special individual try.
Tom Savage of 3-8 Kings. Tom, it's gone from off-season to, well, a tiny off-season that we had to pre-season, and Munster are busy back in preparations, and we saw the video released today of Dennis Logan, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, who was putting the Munster guys through their pre-season paces. And I suppose, Tom, a lot of the work that's done, a lot of the foundations for the game plan, for the fitness, for what they will be required to implement Johan van Graan's game plan will be worked on in these opening weeks, and it's a crucial time.
Absolutely, it's a huge time of the year for Munster heading into this new season. This is kind of the first real extended bit of coaching without a game that the likes of Johan van Graan, JP Ferreira are going to actually have since they've come in. There's lots of work that's got to be done in and put for attacking systems, defensive systems, strategies. You know, this is all the stuff that where a head coach puts a stamp on his side. It always happens during pre-season, you know, because week to week during the year, it's about maintaining sharpness and keeping guys match ready. Preparing specifically for opponents. When you're putting in the big rocks of your game for a year, this is the time of year when it all happens. So you've got fitness, like cardiovascular fitness, but then you've got also strength and conditioning as well. Then you've got game plan. Then you've got skills. It's a very, very important time of year for everybody involved in Munster Rugby.
Tom, going back to last season, Johan van Graan was parachuted in mid-season and, did a reasonable job, all things considered. It's his first real crack at this. Obviously, it's his first pre-season, but his first real crack at sitting down to implement his game plan and of course, to implement his long-term game plan, not just for the coming season. And I suppose it really does start here for him, and he must be relishing the thoughts of getting his squad back, getting stuck into them, getting them playing exactly the way he wants them to play. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that develops, over the season.
Yeah, if you're Johan van Graan, like he's coming in mid-season, like he did, I believe he came in just before the back-to-backs, I think it was, to come in that circumstance is incredibly difficult. No coach would pick to come in at any point during a season, you know. So he would have been looking forward all the way through, come the end of the season, the time off to have a good plan and just strategize what they're going to do now. It really is like this is the time when a guy like him makes his money, when he's putting together what they're going to do for the year with regards to game plan. That's going to be the big thing going forward for Munster this season can they build on what we saw towards the end of the season with regards to how we were playing. Now, a lot of the way we were playing was based a lot on playing in transition. I've done some bits on that this week on my Patreon page. Just looking at how Munster have been playing in detail and how we're kind of looking to differentiate ourselves from the likes of Leinster. Because we have the personnel that Leinster do, like the characteristics of their squad is different from our squad. And we have to kind of work with what we've got and who we're bringing in. So it really is a vital time of the year. And when you look at, from Johan van Graan's perspective, man, this is exciting. You know, this is the time of year when, like all coaches, they just love pre-season because it's, you know, in sometimes when it comes to coaching, games can almost be a distraction. You know, you if you've got stuff and systems that you want to put in place, as well as fitness and conditioning, games, they punctuate everything. So everything kind of, you know, you might have your general training day where you're going over certain things, but after a while, it turns to the opposition and what you've got to do to handle what they're going to bring you. So from their perspective, JP Ferrara as well, this must be just such a relief to get into this time of year, away from the pressure of week to week, but not even the pressure of week to week, essentially working off somebody else's playbook for the most part. You know, a lot was made last season about how the guys who were coming in, there'd be continuity coming over about what was built during the preseason the year before, and then coming into everything that had been done up until, I think it was October or November, when the changeover happened. So, you know, you could tell that Munster were changing towards the end of the year, but that's always very difficult to do that week to week when you're in the midst of a season. So this is going to be just, I imagine, just a massive relief for Van Horn to get to this time of year, to really put in that solid work and kind of put his stamp on what a Johan Van Horn team looks like, because we haven't really seen that. You know, we haven't really seen what Johan Van Horn as a head coach, what that looks like, what kind of way he likes to play. We know that he's a guy who is going to be looking to play a lot in transition, because Munster's team is set up to do that. But what other schemes does he have? What kind of set piece guy is he? What kind of what kind of way will he play off the set piece? These are all the things that are going to be put in place over the next couple of weeks, and that we'll start to see as the season begins.
Yeah, we certainly will, Tom. Just to corner it, or to kind of refine it a bit more, where do you think Munster are going to really, really try and fine tune from last year? What elements of the game plan? We saw there was parts, I think, you know, of their attacking game that we thought just needed that little bit more development. Sometimes they tended to kick ball away too much. You know, defensively, I thought Munster were reasonably good last year, but I just think, you know, we're at the moment a team that can compete to get to pre-season, can compete to get to semi-final level, but, you know, when you want to lift trophies, there is a gap between being consistently at semi-finals and getting over the line in finals. And, you know, that gap is minuscule, but it's so, so crucial. Where do you think Munster are going to, you know, are going to gain these inches in pre-season?
Well, I think there's a few different areas where Munster are going to look to just kind of focus, you know, their attention. A lot of the time when it comes to getting to that, to go to that final level, to get that trophy, like you said there, the margins are very small. But sometimes when you're actually on the other side of that glass ceiling, it's a bit like it may as well be 2 miles worth of a distance, you know, as opposed to inches, like everybody talks the game of inches. But when I look at where Munster are going this season, I think there's a couple of areas where I would say are very important. First one would be to maintain quality depth, but also to keep the big guys on the pitch. You know, a lot of the time when it comes down to that very top echelon of club rugby anyway, it's who gets their key guys who are key to the game plan. How do we keep those guys on the pitch? You know, and there is an element of luck with regards to that, but it is vital that Munster keep Tadhg Byrne, Joey Carberry, Sean Clain, Peter O'Mahony, Chris Farrell, Chris Clutie, Keith Earls, Conor Murray, and, you know, Niall Scannell. For me, these lads have to stay fit this season. I think that when we have those guys available, everything else fits in around them perfectly, you know, because you've got a guy like Reece Marshall, who's a hugely talented player. I think Munster are set up in that particular area, hooker, to go 55-45 when it comes to, or 55-35 rather, to come with the lads who are to split time between big heavy hooker with Niall Scannell, and then you're more of your ball player like Reece Marshall. But on a grander scale, a lot of Munster's system was based on having strength and power in that outside centre position, having pace and dynamism at open side to basically keep our defensive system ticking. From our point of view this year, we're really going to have to, just the little refinements that we're going to have to make sure our counter-attacking is sharper, our passing lines, our support, our ability to kind of to execute opportunities when we get them is going to be the big thing they're going to be working on this year. And it's one of those ones where, of course, you want to execute your chances a little bit better. But a lot of what Munster were doing last year, when it comes to kicking the ball away even, a lot of what we were doing was trying to generate opportunities to attack teams in that transition between defence and attack. When we did that, and when we did it effectively, for example, you look at the try that Keith Earl scored against Edinburgh in that quarter final, where there was a bit of a break from Simon Zeeble, chips over the top, gets in and around Edinburgh because they disrupted themselves after a kick. Then he got the pass out wide. We scored. That's an example of what we were trying to do last year. Now, we're going to be building on that because the guys who we've signed are perfect for that game plan. Joey Carberry is a guy who's got fantastic pace, excellent hands, a guy who you would love to have. Same with Ty Byrne, he's a guy who will generate turnover ball for you. But he's also a very good handler of the ball as well. We're going to have to make sure that all these guys who are coming in, who are quality players, like Ty Byrne, you know, I mean, if you were to go out and say to anybody, go sign me a top second row in Europe, Ty Byrne would be the top of most guys' lists. He's heading to Munster, like as in this pre-season. Joey Carberry is a guy who's, you know, he's got a lot of test caps already. He's without doubt the number two fly half in the country behind Johnny Sexton, depending on just selection from Josh Smith at the moment. So that's a huge opportunity to play into his individual skill set. So I think what Munster are going to be doing is look to build, to develop on from the Munster style of play that we know. We know that we've got big forwards who can carry the ball for us. We know that we've got a pretty good scrum. We know that we're a good line-out team. But when it comes to breaking sides down, we know that we've also got a very good kicking game with Conor Murray. How do we build on that? How do we strike and how do we hurt teams? We know that we can turn them over at the breakdown because we've basically signed a guy. We bring you around, you know, between 25 and 30 turnovers every year with Ty Byrne. Add that to Chris Cootie, James Cronin, and Peter Romani, who are also very good on the floor. He's just standards no slugs on the floor, is he? Even way up amongst the play. Rohan Van Horn is going to be having a lot of time this year stitching together all those individual facets. Because if you look at the people who've been signed, Munster are set out to play a very specific way. There's ball handlers there. There's guys who'll generate turnover ball for you. There's guys who'll generate transition play. And that transition is where you're going to see Munster playing an awful lot next year. There's a passing team in there at their most vulnerable, which is in their transitioning from a defensive or an attacking mindset into a defensive mindset. And we have the players, the pace on the outside back, the strike runner in Mike Bailey, he's a fellow I'm very excited to see as well. You know, if we get the likes of Chris Farrell back, fit and ready for playoff rugby, same with Chris Tootie and Chris, like again, those two lads, Munster signed specifically for that playoff rugby to give us a little bit extra. And when we fell short at the business end last year, both of those lads weren't there. So it's hugely important just to build all those model things into how we're going to play and fit all the pieces together. Because ultimately, it's about personnel.
Yeah, Tom, I suppose the only, if you look at the depth that Munster have added, not just this year, of course, but last as well, I mean, we had two centres that were really, really flogged towards the end of last year, and for no other reason other than we were down to the bare bones. And I mean, you know, it you could see from Arnold and Scanlon last year that towards the end of it, the guys just had given literally every ounce of energy they had to the cause. It was impossible to expect them to be going out in week in, week out, to performing at that level and not have a physical effect towards the end of the season. Hopefully, if we manage to keep the squad injury free, and a lot of that, of course, is just down to plain old good luck. But if we can do that, then no reason, especially with the group we have as well in the Champions Cup or in the Heineken Cup, the Heineken Champions Cup, as it's now back to its old name, kind of. If Munster can negotiate that group, which there's nothing to say that they can't, then they can set themselves up to really, really have a crack at doing what they came close to achieving last year, and that's to get a trophy.
Yeah, and trust me, it is definitely within this squad. I mean, look, it's one of those ones where if you look at the Pro 14 squad for squad, right now I would say Munster are number two behind Leinster with regards to the number of quality individuals that are there across the board. You know, for me, Scarlets have lost some key guys this year. you know, and I think they'll fall back slightly. I'm just assuming. I haven't seen them yet, but just looking on paper, the guys who they've lost are very important for them. So when I look at what they need to do next year, the Champions or the Heineken Cup group, it's one of those ones where, you know, like, I don't think Munster will look at that with an awful lot of fear or trepidation. I mean, Gloucester, I think, will be a team who'll surprise a few people. But Munster will be fairly confident to hang a crack off all those teams. Like
last year, in Park, Munster should have won that game as well. Even though the game in Thomond Park, there'll be a lot of that, you know, there'll be a lot of attention on that. I imagine it's going to be cast at the back-to-back. I think the BP are going to want the two English clubs staying that are in that back-to-back. I would say that the biggest thing going forward now is just, like I said there, is keeping your big guys on the field. When we have those big guys on the field, we're a very dangerous side to play. Like last year, I thought Sam Arnold did an absolutely outstanding job last season for a fellow who came in, you know, who was very solidly third choice coming in at the start of the year, to then replace Jack O'Tauta, but then also replace Chris Farrell. Remember, Sam Arnold was in there for the back-to-backs against Leicester. Then once Chris Farrell went down, with the knee injury to put him out for the season during the Six Nations window, that basically put Sam Arnold in as the number one guy for the rest of the season. You know, he was like, and like you said there, like he's in, he played an awful lot of rugby, you know, and he'll be all the better for it. But ideally, you don't want to be down to your last guy there. So, you know, if we had that little bit of luck, especially in midfield, that was vital for us last year. If we can get a bit of rotation going there and just give ourselves options, like, you know, every side likes to have a bit of mix and match. Sometimes it's a luxury that you don't have the opportunity to go, well, maybe we'll go with this option. Like Ireland, for example, on the tour, you know, to Australia, they could go with Aki, Henshaw, you know, or Ringrose, Henshaw, Ringrose, Aki, you know, Chris Farrell could have been in the mix there as well. So, like had he been fit. So that would, like, so that's kind of what every side needs coming into this time of year. Just to plot ahead and just to see, well, you know, who are our options here? Like, and this is an important time for, like, fringe guys. Well, you know, this is the pre-season and the kind of the opening, you know, six or seven rounds of the Pro 14. This is where a lot of guys make their name for themselves. This is where a lot of fellas actually put their hand up and kind of go, well, I'm actually kind of in a position now where I'm available for more game time. And like, that's where last year Sean O'Connor did very well prior to getting injured, where Liam O'Connor, where he did very, very well until he also got injured. So, I mean, it's a time of year when fellas can put their hands up and decide that, you know, they're actually now going to be squad guys, like, and they're going to be fellas who are going to be reliable. This is the time when they show what they're all about.
Yeah, it certainly is, Tom. We'll leave the senior side for there, I suppose, or the main side. But the academy also had some announcement during the week with regards to the intake. It's always looking important that we see a continual stream of young fellas coming through. But what's your impression of the academy intake for this year, Tom?
Very excited about this year's academy intake. Now, I know that there's a propensity sometimes when it comes to rugby media that we're kind of always focused on the next, who's the next guy, and we kind of forget about the guys who are already there. But when it comes to the academy intake time of year in the summer, it's a hugely exciting time for young lads who are kind of either, some are leaving school, some have been out of school for a year, and getting that opportunity to come in and to be part of, you know, a club like Munster, and to be in that high performance centre, they're in that position where so many young lads playing all over the province would love to be, and they find themselves in that position, a kind of a privileged position in a way, to kind of get onto that track, you know, where you know, ideally at the end is potential stardom, a fantastic rugby career, and, you know, iconic status in Munster is at the end of the line for fellas like that. This year's intake for me is very, very good. Now, there was a lot of talk earlier in the season about how Munster cut. I think it was 7 players they cut from the academy system at the time. And that's always very difficult if you're a young man getting cut from the academy. It hurts. It stings. But it's never the end of the line if you don't want it to be. But from Munster's perspective, they were always going to look to bring in guys who they felt had that quality to make the kind of value that people want from an academy, which is you're not just there for the tracksuit, not that any of the lads who were cut were there for just that, but you're there to go and basically look to push into that squad. If you're in year one, they want you pushing for Pro 14 minutes in 18 months' time, that you're ready to make that step up, that you can be somebody who they can look at and go, this is a guy who could potentially be playing Pro 14 minutes 18 months from now. All of the lads who were included in this squad are in this intake, and there's eight guys. Every one of them has that potential for me. There's a few very special players there. I've mentioned a few of them on my own podcast, but when it comes to the names that stand out to me immediately, and I like all of these names, because do you know, sometimes when you look at an academy intake, you may have heard of some lads, but other lads could be a complete mystery to you. That's not the case this year. Every one of these guys I've seen and I've heard good things about during the year. Tom O'Hearn is a guy. He might not have stood out to a lot of people this year because he didn't have any representation on the Irish under-20 squad. But this is a guy in the second row who is immensely talented, not only as an actual player, but athletically. This guy is the real deal. He's 6'7", 6'8". I'm not sure what his exact height is because he's at the point where there is no official stats on him yet. But this is a guy who is incredibly athletic. He's incredibly mobile. He's got all the frame advantages you could look for in a second row with regards to his height, his build, the length of his arms. This guy is a serious prospect talent-wise. And, you know, to come in as he has, I believe just from school, from Water Park in Waterford, is a huge achievement for him personally. And it's the kind of thing where you go, geez, that doesn't happen to just everybody. That's the type of player who they bring in if they've got they've seen up close and they really like the look of. He's a guy who's represented Ireland at under-19 level, under-18 level, I believe, as well. He's a fellow who's got a lot of talent, and he's got 2 years of Irish under-20 representation ahead of him, which is remarkable. That's the kind of that's the level player that he is. So when I look as well at Sean French, he's a fellow who a lot of people will know if they've been looking at Munster Senior Cup. He's been a star player for Prez in midfield over the course of the last 2 years. He's been playing at 12 and 13. But he's a guy who's got it all, it looks like. You know, he's got pace, he's got power, he's got handling ability, he's got that little bit of X factor to him as well, that you see in players at that age where they can just beat guys either with an offload or with a step or with pace or running through them. And he's a goal kicker.
Tom, in other news, just looking at breaking news today, that Ulster signed an Irish qualified out half to hopefully help with their issues in the position.
So, Billy Burns, they've signed from Gloucester. Yeah, look, I think this is a very practical signing from an Ulster perspective. They've signed a guy who's Irish qualified, one. He's young, he's 24, which is number two, but also he's actually quite experienced. You wouldn't think it, but he's a guy who's got a lot of appearances for Gloucester and a lot of kind of, you know, fairly big club experience at that club. So for me, he's a guy who'll come in. He's being brought, I'm not sure what, as in we don't know what his wage will be or what his kind of budget take up will be, but he's a guy who'll come in who'll, you know, be able to step in straight away without much in the way of acclimatization to this level of rugby, and it allows the two very, very young fly halves that they have to basically bed in without having an awful lot of pressure on them next year. Ulster have to sign somebody. They have to sign someone to play that position at 10. There really is no top quality foreign signings that are available right now with the World Cup only a year away. So a guy like Billy Burns, you can bring him in. He's Irish qualified. He'll do a job for you. If he works out, great. If he doesn't, there's going to be a lot of contracts floating around at the end of next season with regards to the World Cup and bringing guys in after that. So, you know, it's a very, very practical signing for Ulster. But he's a guy who I think could actually work out quite well for them with regards to, you know, giving them what they want and what they actually need at this point, which is somebody who's reliable, who'll get their backs moving, and who'll, you know, who just basically be a solid presence for them there. He's experienced, he's Irish qualified. It really is a good signing from an Ulster perspective, as far as I'm concerned.
Tom, tell us a little bit about what is coming up on Three Red Kings this week.
Well, we're in official hashtag summer content mode at Three Red Kings Premium this week, over the course of the next month or two. What I'm going to be looking at this week is Munster's defensive evolution under JP Ferrara, how it plays into our overall game plan, and basically what are the kind of overall trends worldwide in defence. as it pertains over the summer tour that we've just seen, and kind of what kind of trends can we expect to see going forward. I'm also going to be looking at the latest Crusaders game from Super Rugby, how they're kind of really leading the way with regards to standards in kind of club level rugby at the moment. And then finally, I'm just going to be looking at Munster's set piece work from last season towards the end of the season, and basically trying to hypothesise how we're going to build on that going forward to kind of, you know, really make that aspect of our game shine without Simon Zeebo, who was quite important to a lot of what we were doing there last year. That's coming up all on this week on TRK Premium, which is on patreon.com/FearOfKings for just €2 a month.